Okay, tonight we have a guest evangelist from Ireland, so he's going to come preach for us.
Well, good evening. I hope that you are having a good week and that tonight is a time to come and be refreshed in the Lord's house. It's a blessing to be back here. I gave a testimony on Sunday night, but I thought I'd just give a few more details and add to that. The Lord, obviously, you know, the Lord doesn't make mistakes, and it's been neat that even though humanly looking at it, I've been looking at it and thinking, you know, I'm missing all this summer of work and summer of ministry. And it just, from, you know, the human perspective, it never makes sense a lot of times. But I think the Lord has a reason for it all. And he's opened a number of opportunities just in the few months that I've been there to be able to minister. Right away back in April, got back from our honeymoon and thought we'd be leaving by May 1st. That was a joke. It was a dream, and I thought we'd be leaving anyways, but the few weeks we were there, we were going to say, okay, we'll see what the Lord can, how the Lord can use us. And just a month or so before that, my wife Lisa and her sister Kelly had gone on this, they were doing a Gospel of John project, and they were inviting people to read the book of John, and then 30 days later, they'd come back. Well, they had gone to this 18-year-old boy, Gilbert, at his house, and they met him and asked him to read it, and he was real interested. He said he'd read it. And so about a month later, so we got back from our honeymoon, and we were going out on visitation. And so she's like, why don't you and I go back to this guy's house, because they hadn't gone back. So we went back, and this young man was just, it was unbelievable to see how the Lord had prepared his heart. He had read through the book of John. You know how some people, you know, maybe they did it, and just nothing stuck or whatever. This young man had clearly read through the book of John. The lights were turning on. The Spirit of God was working in his heart. And it had been a while after, a month or so, but it was just so evident that God had led him, was working in his heart, was able to talk to him that night about the book of John, and then come back again and in greater detail go through John chapter 3 and what it meant to be born again. And I'm not sure if he, when exactly he got saved. He may have gotten saved through reading the book of John, because the light bulbs were completely turned on and the Spirit of God was definitely working in his heart and bringing conviction. So it was a neat, I believe, that he did get saved and would have been able to do a number of different things with him since then. And so the Lord had me, if the Lord had me there for a few months just to see him saved, and you never know what the Lord could do with that. But just this last week, I was able to help build a baptismal tank at the church, and have been leading the church choir. They had no choir, so they asked me just to do it while I was there. So it's been different opportunities like that I've been thankful for, and just neat how the Lord has used that. So Lord willing, we'll be back in a month, and I'm excited about that and getting back here and getting settled and established. So you can just continue to pray. Still haven't heard an interview date from the embassy. We're still waiting to hear from that so we can get back here. But just continue to pray for that, all right? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Should have had you turning there, but Hebrews chapter 10, it is a delight to be back home, you know, and in your church. And it's just so thankful for this place, and it is a blessing to be here. If I say some random Irish words tonight, just forgive me. I've been there for several months, so someone was accusing me that I had an Irish accent, but I don't think I've quite picked that up yet. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25 will kind of be our starting point. Verse 24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Tonight, I am just presenting a simple message with a simple theme, and all of us can relate to this idea, because all of us, and in some degree, we know what we need rest. We need rest. We need refreshment. And I've kind of called it halftime, because in the middle of the week, Wednesday night church is kind of like halftime. If you think of your work week as a full 48-minute basketball game, Wednesday night is halftime, and it's time And we're going to look at several different things that happened during halftime that need to happen, that happened at church on Wednesday night. And I'm not trying to make light of the truth, but there's great truth, great reality that every single believer needs Wednesday night church. And a believer missing Wednesday night church is like a basketball player playing the full 48 minutes and not having a break. Or, well, the rest of the team is out taking the break. He's still out there shooting and running around the court. It just doesn't make sense. He needs that time, that halftime, where he can be refreshed and refocused. So tonight, we're going to look at several different reasons why every believer needs to be at Wednesday night church and be refreshed and refocused in the ministry. So the first one is refresh yourself. Why is it so important to be in church on Wednesday night? So you can be refreshed. Refresh yourself in the Lord. That's what David did, right? He refreshed himself when he was in the middle of the battle. He came to the Lord. He would find those quiet places and get alone with the Lord. And we see that all throughout Scripture. Daniel would get alone with God. How did he make it through those difficult situations? How did he make it through those great temptations, Joseph? It's because they got away and refreshed themselves in the Lord. And how important that is for us as believers to refresh ourselves halfway through the week. And that's not the only time. Every day needs to be a time of refreshing, getting alone with the Lord. But Wednesday night in particular is a tremendous opportunity for God's people to come to church and be refreshed. Ephesians 6 talks about the armor of God. You know, during halftime, you know, maybe if you're playing football, I always have to think American football, because over there you say football and they think in soccer. So over there I differentiate by saying American football or football. And so I almost said American football, which you all would have known. But in football, halfway through, you know, they'd kind of readjust the pads. But, you know, for us as believers, we need to... Wednesday night's a great opportunity to look and say, you know what, do we have the armor of God on? Is the armor on? Is it all in its appropriate place? Because you know what, if that's not in place, it's going to be difficult to make it through the week. The devil is for sure going to throw his darts. He knows where your weak spots are. He knows where he can get you. So how do you refresh yourself? Make sure your armor is on. Remind yourself that you are on the victory side. Isn't that an amazing thing? You know, when you're playing any sport, halfway through, you don't know necessarily who's going to win. But we can come to church every time, and you know what? We're on the victory side. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. You know, and that comes right at the end of the resurrection chapter. And that glorious truth reminds us constantly that, you know what? We are on the victory side if we are in Christ. And so what a glorious thing that you can be reminded of tonight, that you're on the victory side. Now you say, Paul, you don't understand what I've experienced this first half of the week. There's no way I'm on the victory side. You might say, there's not a chance I'm on the victory side. I've been defeated all week. I've been just bombarded, and the devil has been going after me. And you say, there's just no way I'm on the victory side. You know what? You're either going to believe that lie, or you're going to believe the truth. And tonight, God... You may say, well, maybe at the present moment you're not in victory just because of some kind of sin in your life. But you know, the reality is you're on the victory side, and you can have, by getting right with the Lord, you can step into that victory and experience that victory the rest of this week. You don't have to live the rest of the week defeated. You can have victory the rest of this week. Another thing to remember when you come at halftime is to remember, oh, you know what? I'm in a battle. You are in a very serious battle. We were reminded Sunday morning that we are in a great spiritual battle and that there's a real enemy. And that's something sometimes you have to, coaches remind their players, you know what? We need to be careful. Maybe we're up 10 points, but we still have an enemy. We still have an opponent that we're playing against, and they could come back if we let our guard down. And so Wednesday night is a great opportunity to remind yourselves of these important truths. Also, it's important to remember that, you know what, God is still on the throne. God is still on the throne. We see that in Ephesians 1. He's still seated on the right hand of the throne of God. Christ is still seated there, and He's on the throne. And that's a great reminder for God's people tonight. Maybe this week has seemed like chaos, and it just seems like, you know, the devil's the one in control. And you know what, He has a great part, and He can certainly distract the believer. He can certainly get us off track. But it is important to remember that God is on the throne. And to remember that will give us refreshment for our spiritual refreshment. Say, you know what? I can, with the Lord's help, I can make it through this week. I don't have to be defeated. And the devil isn't going to get the victory. Christ is on the throne. You know, I often think of the psalmist in Psalms, I believe it's Psalm 37, when he was looking around him and he saw the prosperity of the wicked. Just today, I was working in two different locations, one in Fox Point on the north side of Milwaukee, pouring a concrete slab, and it was just amazing. We were driving down Lake Drive, and these mammoth houses looking over Lake Michigan. And you just think, wow, what an amazing place to live. Can you imagine living there and, you know, you start getting these thoughts, what if I lived here? Wouldn't that be an incredible thing? And then we went out to Pewaukee, right by Pewaukee Lake, and it was like, whoa, some more houses. And you start looking at these, the prosperity of the people around us. And you start getting your mind starts going and says, man, wouldn't it be great to live in something like that? But then Wednesday night, you come to church. And that's like the psalmist. He came into the sanctuary, came into God's presence, and he was reminded of the end of the wicked. And you know what? It is so important for us to come into this place and to become into God's presence so that we are reminded of these important truths, reminded what the end of the wicked really is. It's not all glamorous. It's not all amazing like it really is, but like it looks. There's great turmoil. And any Christian wouldn't want that, would never exchange the peace of God for what the wicked are going through. But you know what? It's important to be in God's house. That's where David saw, was reminded of the end of the wicked, was he came into the presence of the Lord. And you know, if you're not coming into the presence of the Lord, whether it's here at church or in your own home, you're going to start believing. You're going to start looking around. You're going to start believing that, you know, maybe the way of the wicked is the way to go. Maybe that we should follow and do the things that they're doing and try to get the end that they're getting. But that is not what we are to be doing as believers. It's a great place on Wednesday nights to refresh yourself and remember these important truths. Another thing, as you refresh yourselves on Wednesday night, is to be with God's people. You know, I don't know about you, but I love being with God's people because there's a common denominator there. There's something that you can connect with. Just a couple weeks ago, I was obviously in Ireland, and my wife's mom's family, the McGillicuddies, do a family reunion. And so my wife and her sisters don't really care going because they're the oddballs. They're the ones that, you know, everyone else drinks and parties while they're there, and they're the ones, you know, doing their own things because they can't be with the other people. So they don't really care to go, but we went. And after just a couple days, I was thinking, man, I can't wait to just get back around other Christians. Because it's just like, you know, there's almost nothing in common. You just, you know, you can talk about life, I guess, to some degree. But there's just no spiritual understanding. There's no spiritual connection. I suppose it didn't help any that a lot of them were from England. And, you know, there's just such an absence of God there. But just the fact that to come on Wednesday nights is an opportunity to be with God's people. What an important thing it is in the believer's life to be with God's people. And that ought to encourage you. Now, to put it practically, when you come to church Wednesday night, is it just to come and sit, pray, and get out of here? Or is it a time to refresh yourself by being with God's people? What if everyone came Wednesday night and think, you know what, I'm just going to look for one person that I can encourage tonight. What if I come and just everyone in the church came and said, you know, I'm going to look out for that one person, really ask them how they're doing, how their week is going, ask them, maybe there's something you can pray with them for. You know what, we would all leave encouraged. Say, you know what, we're in the fight together, and we're not alone in this battle. But what an opportunity on Wednesday nights to come, refresh yourselves, remembering these important truths that ought to guide us through the rest of the week, remembering that we are on the victory side, and then being encouragement to someone that with other people in the church and encouraging one another. So the first thing is to refresh yourself. Halftime is the opportunity to refresh yourself. Secondly, halftime is an opportunity to refocus. Refocus. Have you got your focus off this week? What's your focus for this week? What is the goal? What is, you know, God has given us maybe short-term goals, given us long-term goals. Have we lost sight or lost the focus? You know, so I know what it's like just living day to day because it's so easy to do that. You know, you're just tied up with everything you're doing and just getting through day to day. But you know what? There's important things that at halftime need to happen. You need to review the game plan. You need to refocus on what it is, what it is that you're aiming towards. I guarantee it. A good coach puts before his players constantly what it is they're after. You know, when the NCAA basketball rolls around, those coaches are putting in front of their players the main goal. They're not there just to win their conference. They're not just to win a few games. The coach is putting in front of them from the very first practice, we're here to win the championship. And you know what? As believers, it's halftime is an opportunity to refocus. Look at our lives. Where have I gotten off focus? Are there things in my life that aren't contributing to the end goal? That are distracting, that say, you know, God's put this goal in my life. He's given me this calling. And all of us, if you're here tonight and you're saved, you have a calling on your life. And are you accomplishing that? Have you gotten off focus? Have you started drifting off to another focus that isn't God's focus for your life? You know, we all have that. Whether you are a young person and you've surrendered your life to the ministry and, you know, you see yourself one day being in the ministry, you know, it's easy to get off that focus and to lose the focus and the calling for your life. Maybe you're just an adult here and you're just working and you know what? You still have a calling on your life. And you need to remind yourself of the focus. Because that having that end vision where it sees beyond tomorrow, but the years down the road, having that in your mindset is going to help you keep your eye on the goal. And you know, the end goal there is, just to remind you, is Christ himself. To one day stand before your Creator, your Savior, your Redeemer, the one who gave His life for you, and to stand before Him and hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That is the end goal. It's not just to simply make it to heaven and collapse in heaven and then rest in heaven. You know what? It's to be with your Savior. And you know what? Halftime is an opportunity to refocus and don't forget the end goal. Don't forget what the goals of your life are. And those goals are to be a witness and a testimony for the Lord. We're halfway through the week. Have you been a witness? Have you been a testimony the first half of this week for the Lord? Have you opened your mouth? Have you, taken an opportunity to share the gospel with someone? That's part of the calling for God that God has for you this week. Walking with the Lord. Have you been taking the time to meet with the Lord? You can fix it the rest of this week. You can't fix what you didn't do the last couple of days. But you can refocus and say, you know what? My calling is to be walking with my Savior. And maybe you haven't been doing that this week, but you need to be. Loving one another, walking in faith. Maybe this week there's steps of faith. Maybe there's things that you knew you needed to step out in faith and do. Maybe it's just give the gospel to someone. And you need to refocus and say, you know what? I've missed some steps of faith, and I need to take those this week. What is God's plan for you this week? Are you accomplishing it? You know, this Wednesday night is a great opportunity for you to come into God's house and refocus on God's long-term plan for you and for your life. And so that one day you can stand in heaven and hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And you know what? Halftime is a critical point. You know, in any game that has a halftime, it's there for a reason, because the athletes need that. You know, and we are in a battle, we're in a race. And each one of us need halftime on Wednesday nights to come into God's house, to refresh ourselves, and to refocus on what it is that God is planning for us and has planned for us, and make sure that we're following that. It's a simple challenge tonight, but there are practical things that each one of us in our life can do. Maybe this week you've just hadn't had your devotions at all. And you say, you know what? Tomorrow and every day the rest of this week, I need to have those. And maybe you've had some wrong thinking process this week and you've been thinking, you know what? Just living from day to day, or maybe you've gotten your eyes off the real goal. Each one of us can refocus. Each one of us can refresh ourselves. And I challenge you, make Wednesday nights, every service, an opportunity to challenge one person. And to come into God's house, see what one person is doing. and be an encouragement and a blessing to them. These are simple truths, but something that I think we can all apply to our lives. And it's such a thrill to be here tonight and just to see, you know, this is a similar crowd that we'd see on a Sunday morning. And you know what that means? That means God's people are taking this week, this night seriously. And I encourage you to continue to take it seriously because you need this for your spiritual health. You need it to, you know, be in obedience to the Lord. And other believers need it. They need to see you here. They need to see, have that encouragement that comes when the body comes together. So I just trust that that is an encouragement and a blessing to you. And maybe that there's something, a truth. Maybe you just forgot you're on the victory side and you've given into that thinking. And you need to be reminded of tonight. I trust something would stick out to you and that you would let the Lord work in your hearts. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for the opportunity to come into your presence and come into your house, especially even on Wednesday nights. Lord, what a joy and an opportunity that is. I pray that we wouldn't take that lightly, but take it seriously, Lord, that this is a tremendous opportunity, Lord. And your word says, and so much the more. As we see the day approaching, Lord, more than ever, we need these nights, Lord, to get together and to remind ourselves of these important truths and to encourage one another in the truth and to in the battle. Lord, would you work in each heart tonight and encourage and strengthen each believer that's here? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.